Good evening. Thanks for tuning in again. I hope you've had a good day so far and the Lord's richly blessed you. I'm excited about coming to you again for a midweek service, and we're going to continue tonight in what to avoid in our series. And so take your Bibles. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4. While you're turning there, just want to make mention of a few things. As I say each week, and I apologize for sounding so redundant here, but please continue to pray for our church building. And there's some things coming up in the future we will definitely make you aware of. But pray for that. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to come back into fellowship here very soon. And so we're praying towards those items, praying for the construction of our church and all that needs to be done. With that, we appreciate and covet your prayers in that regard. So please continue to pray in that area. If you have any prayer requests, let us know that once again, and let us know how you're doing. And Lord willing, I can't wait. We'll be able to come back into fellowship here very, very soon. All right. Well, I hope you're ready for the word of the Lord tonight, and ready to jump into the word of God here. Proverbs 4, take your Bibles, and I hope you're doing well. All right, Proverbs 4. Before we begin, before I forget, let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, thank you for an opportunity once again to come together in and around your word, and being able to explore and expound and to look at your word, what it has for us as Christians. Strengthen us. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for tonight. Especially, Lord, guide me by thy Holy Spirit, that I would say exactly what you'd have me to say tonight. And Lord, use a message, I pray, to encourage, convict, and help those listening. Lord, thank you for those that have been so faithful, God, through this time, to be so faithful in this online service and in your word and in prayer and in study. And Lord, we thank and love you once again. In thy precious name we do pray. Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 4. We're continuing into What to Avoid series here, and I wanted to cover in this fourth message, we have to avoid evil men. Avoid evil men. Now, note with me here in, let's go to verse 14, Proverbs 4. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. You and I as Christians, as you know this, we ought to avoid the path or the way of evil men. Now, as we've looked at before already, we are to avoid several things in the Christian life. In fact, many things. And we see we're to avoid spiritual failure. We're to avoid deception. We're to avoid backsliding. And tonight, hopefully, be help to you, we're to avoid evil men. Now, many of you folks do work around and are associated with, inevitably, with people that you could maybe describe as being wicked or evil people. We're not trying to be harsh or mean towards anybody in that regard, but biblically speaking, there are people that are wicked. They are unsaved and they do not follow the Lord. In fact, they're antagonistic and against the things of God. And I pray for you, dear folks, that do have to work around those people and be in that kind of environment on a daily basis. And God bless you for standing strong and standing true. But we are to avoid evil men. Now, we live in a generation where evil abounds. That's evidently clear. Now, we think about it. I was thinking about this the other night. Just check your local news station in the afternoon or at night, and you're going to see story after story after story of wickedness and evil. The nightly news usually has a negative, negative, negative story, and then a positive story right at the end. And it just goes to show that this world is wicked. And by the way, it's not our home. We're just passing through. Many evil men have ruled in the world throughout history. Many evil men have tried to rule the world, not just in the world, but the world in general, as you have seen and I'm sure you've studied. I was looking through just some things here, but do you recall many men? An example, Pol Pot, if you remember him, leader of in Cambodia. Estimated to have killed over 2 million Cambodians in just about a 10-year span in the 70s. Amazing. 2 million people. How many people do you got to kill a day to reach that number? And you think about the wicked, evil people. That's an evil man. Evil. Almost 20 million people died under Joseph Stalin. 20 million. That's just an estimated guess. They don't even know how many he actually killed and had executed. 20 million people under one man, wicked, evil. Some 60,000 people died under Saddam Hussein's wicked reign. And on we could go. These men were evil men. As you know, we go many millennia back. Nero, you know, he would take Christians, dip them in pitch or in boiling tar, and he would literally impale them on poles, lining up his path or his road, his walkway up to his castle or to his house. In one area, he had a garden where he would line these people up so he could go out at night and look at his garden while burning people on poles. I mean, that's some horrific things. That's an evil man. It's wicked, right? Knowing that. Now, we could go on and on. We may never be under the persecution of these evil men or men like this, right? But we do, and caution you here, interact with men and women daily that are biblically categorized as evil people. You would say, well, they're not evil people. We shouldn't call people that. Well, I'm saying biblically categorized. They're evil. They're labeled because of what they are and what they believe and what they literally refuse to believe or accept. Okay. Now, just a caution to us here this evening about avoiding. What do we avoid? What avoid that? I brought a message three or four weeks ago, about the company that we keep and who hindered you? Who is it in your life? And just being cautious about this. We have far too many Christians today and believers that are so flippant about that, who they are involved with, who they hang around, who they allow into their home, who their friends hang out with, who they, on and on we could go. We have to be cautious and careful and really discerning Christians. And that's what I want to touch on. Now, we must live in this world, but we must avoid the evil. Therefore, the Bible has clear warnings against the child of God keeping company with evil men. The old adage, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, does not apply to the believer. Right? We are warned to avoid them. Avoid them. Now, let me say this. Let me give a little preface to before what I'm about to say in my text here, in my message tonight. A little preface here of, I'm not advocating a skepticism about every individual you come into contact with. I know people like this, and maybe you're like that. I've been like it before, but you're skeptical. You're standoffish with every person because, oh, they're wicked people. No, we as individuals, as children of God, let me say, we ought to use discernment, a discerning heart. Now, let me touch on discernment just for a minute. Again, I've said this many times, and pardon me for this, but the mark of a spiritual man, woman, or child is what? It's spiritual discernment. Being able to discern spiritual things. You're able to do it. You're listening to the Spirit. You're feeding upon the Word of God, by the way, which is the tool for discernment. You're walking in the Spirit. And you're listening and allowing the Lord to lead you. And you're saying, okay, I have discernment. You call it whatever you want to call it. I had a friend used to say, well, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. The red flag went up for me. Those are things we could say, a lot of the ways of a discernment. We ought to have it in our lives. Let me say this. Listen to Hebrews 5, verse 14. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The people that can discern both good and evil or between good and evil are full age, meaning mature. They're feeding upon the Word. They're faithful to God. They're not quitting. They're abstaining from sinful behavior. They're abstaining from evil men and associations of that light. So it belongs. Notice, they can discern between good and evil. A discernment about a Christian. You can, let me say this, the opposite. You can lose discernment in your life. You can start out with great discernment, but you can lose discernment. And the one way to lose discernment is through sinful behavior. Now listen to 1 Kings 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now, you know that was Solomon. A couple verses later, 1 Kings 3, verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. And you know, God goes on and says, I'll give you everything you didn't ask for. Solomon became, at that time, the most powerful man in the world. He became, we still believe, that the richest man to ever live, and we know for sure, the wisest man that ever lived on the face of this earth, outside of Jesus Christ. But what happened in the latter end of his life? He completely lost the discernment that he was supposed to have, didn't he? He allowed the concubines, the girlfriends, the wives, all of that, to turn his heart away. And when his girlfriend came to him and said, hey, let's go worship my God in the pagan temple over here, Solomon should have immediately said, absolutely not. I have discernment. But he didn't, did he? And his life was a mess. It was wrecked. It was really a shame. It was a shame. Do you have discernment? I'm saying, before we really avoid evil men, we got to have true discernment. True discernment. Okay? Ezekiel 44:23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Spiritual leaders. One duty of that is to help the people know between good and evil and between clean and unclean and all that that entails. Okay? Luke 12:56. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that ye do not discern this time? He says you can look out and see the sky red and go, well, there's a storm coming. Red sky at night, sailor's delight, you know. Oh, there's a sky. Oh, I can discern the times here. And you can't even discern, he says, that the Messiah is standing right in front of you. Right? Psychics, tarot cards, all these things. By the way, a Christian should never, ever, ever be involved with any of that. Ever. You should not allow any of that into your home, especially if you have young kids in the home that you're not sure about their salvation yet. Very dangerous. Fortune cookies. You know, I'm surprised. People will trust a fortune cookie rather than the Bible, you know. You open a fortune cookie up, oh, you'll be surrounded by positive people. Oh, I'm glad because I was about to surround myself with negative people. Thanks, fortune cookie, for telling me, you know. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Thinking through some of that, I'm just pointing out, we got to have discernment, right? And thinking through, and you know this, that the Bible is our tool for discernment. Hebrews 4:12, I won't go through all of that. I've been through it before. But that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It discerns. And the more time you spend in the Scriptures, right, the more discernment you're going to have. The Holy Spirit's leading you. If you'll listen, if you'll allow the Spirit to direct you. Now, let me say a few things here as we jump into this. Go not the way of evil men. Now, back in our text, enter not into the path of the wicked, verse 14. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. This is an evil man he's describing. So he says, go not in the way. Now, the evil men have established a way in this world. Therefore, obviously, is another way, hence the righteous way. Okay? Now let's look at some characteristics of the evil man and his pathway or his way. Number one, they're mischievous. They are looking to trip up and stumble up and block and hinder the righteous man. And that's why he's warning here his son, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. He says, don't even go near it. If it's over here on your way home, take another route. If that thing's going to tempt you as you're driving by it on the way home, go another route. Yeah, but it'll take me extra 10 minutes to get home. Doesn't matter. If that thing is going to tempt you on your phone, take the app off. You don't need it. I'm saying we ought to avoid these things. The wicked man or the evil man is mischievous. Now listen to a couple of these here. Nehemiah 6:2. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. These two men were evil, wicked men, and they decided they were going to cause Nehemiah mischief. They wanted to work in his life. Again, just a side note again, if you're on the wall building for Christ, you need to tell certain people, I'm not coming down. Because as soon as you come down and compromise and acquiesce to their demands, if they're ungodly, evil people, unsaved, okay, they're going to take advantage of you. They're causing mischief. They're doing all that they're doing in a mischievous way. Now, coming back to this, listen to Esther 8:3. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Haman, wicked. As you know your Bibles, Esther, that moment was literally, Haman was literally at the doorstep of complete annihilation of the Jewish people. I mean, literally, within almost hours. And God, as you know, intervened. And Esther makes that great and wonderful statement, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. She saved an entire really nation, a group of people. But Haman, wicked. What was his wickedness? Mischief. Looking to be mischievous. Looking to cause really God's people to fail, to be annihilated, to be destroyed. They're mischievous. Let me say secondly, quickly, they cause others to fall. Okay? Notice verse 16, for they sleep not, they can't rest, except they've done mischief, and they sleep, the sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall, some to falter. Do you know evil and wicked people, they hate being alone. They need and desire company. They want other people to fall. If they're addicted, they want other people to be addicted. If they're having trouble, they want other people to have trouble, right? They cause others to fall. They're looking to trip you up. And ultimately, coming back to the adversary, Satan is looking, desirous, ultimate goal, I should say, to destroy your life, okay? He wants to see you fall and falter. Now, we know the number one goal, if you're a saved person, I'm speaking to the saved, if you're saved, the number one goal of Satan today is to kill you, to take you off the earth, okay? And that doesn't mean we walk around in fear. Oh, I hope today's not the day I die, you know. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And we know that. But his goal is to take you out of the race. He knows he can't have your salvation. He knows you're going to heaven. So he says, well, why don't I just get rid of him if I can't? Now, that ultimately is in God's control and whatever it is. But the evil, looking to cause you to fall. That's why I caution. Don't become buddy buddies, best buddies and friends. Now, reach him with the gospel. Try and see him saved, but if they refuse it and reject it and want nothing to do with that part of your relationship with them, you need to back yourself away. As Paul says, you need to withdraw yourself. Okay? Again, now let me say here again, they're wicked. The Bible says they're wicked. Notice verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They're wicked. We already covered that. But they also are violent. There's violence about them. Genesis 6, verse 11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence. Isn't that our society today, violence? Now, I don't know if you're like me, red-blooded American man. I enjoy watching a good boxing match. I enjoy watching these MMA fights that are on all the time now and stuff like that. I like watching that. Now, I don't watch a lot of it because it's not good for me, and it's not very good to enjoy that, because the Bible is clear, it's violence, it's not good. And there's a lot associated with it as well. Alcohol supports that, and all the beer ads and all of that, and other things as well. But I'm just saying, violence. The earth is filled with violence. And that's one reason, again, the Lord came destroyed with that flood. We need to be careful about that. Again, using discernment and all these things, okay? Let me say also very quickly, they walk in darkness, not knowing at what they stumble. They walk in darkness. Now, they walk in darkness. Notice verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. People that are in particular very sinful and unsaved in a particular way, I should say. Unsaved, wicked, they constantly are stumbling, but don't know what they stumble at. Why did I get arrested again? You watch these shows, these cops shows or whatever like that. They arrest these people and they always say, what you arresting me again for? Why are you guys, cops are always bugging me. You're always coming. And the cops always say, because you're still dealing drugs. You're still, stealing from the store. They know not at what they stumble. They can't seem to figure it out. And again, we ought to be helping these people, reaching them with the gospel. But just some pointers here of what they do. Isaiah 30, verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now, this is the nation of Israel telling God to get out of the way. Leave us alone. That's the wicked. That's the evil. I want nothing to do with your God. Why would you not want to be saved? Why would you not want to go to heaven? Why would you not want to be blessed by God? You know why these people don't want to? Because their hearts are evil. They serve another God. But he says, get out of our way. Get out of our way. Notice verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. More and more. You see that? It's positive. They're moving forward. They're advancing. They're maturing. They're reading and studying and memorizing and praying. And, oh, my prayer life is lacking off. Let me increase that a little bit. I got too busy over here with this. I've sidetracked too much here with something that's temporal instead of eternal, etc. See what they're doing? More and more. More and more. Proverbs 4, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Know where you're going and why you're going there. Ponder the path of your feet, understanding that. I have so many verses here. For sake of time, I won't read them all. But Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. But he says, don't follow after a multitude to do evil. Don't watch birds of a feather flock together, right? Watch what you do, who you hang around with, doing evil. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 1:15. I'm going through here, trying to pick out a few verses here. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, isn't it? Word of God. The Word of God. It'll show you where to go. It'll show you who to be with. It'll show you how to walk, where to walk, when to walk. Thinking through this. Isaiah 51:1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. The spiritual person knows where they came from. They know the blessings of God. Follow after righteousness. Proverbs 13:21, evil pursueth sinners, but the righteous good shall be repaid. It truly does. You want to figure out how to stop evil from pursuing you in your life? Stop sinning. It's pretty simple. Stop sinning. But as Jesus said, they refuse to because they love darkness rather than light. If they come to the light, their deeds will be reproved. But they don't want that. They don't want that. Caution against this. Caution. Go not the way of evil men. Let me say here quickly, number two, envy not the evil man. Envy not. Now let's go over to chapter 24 and look at another aspect of the evil man and a warning against Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 1, and he says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Mischief, there it is again. Envy not. You know, a very great danger to believers is that we begin to envy the world. We'll envy the evil. We'll envy because of what they have and the freedom they have, right? The illicit freedom they have. And I'll leave it at that. We can become very envious if we're not right with God, if we're not following and walking in His steps. Very, very easy to do. Romans 12:9, in fact, says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So we're not only to avoid and disdain the evil, the evilness around us, but abhor it. Literally, it ought to make you sick when you observe and see and think about the evilness there. Cleave to that which is good. Listen to some of these. For envy, they delivered Christ. Mark 15:10, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. For envy, they sold Joseph. Acts 7, verse 9, you know this is Stephen speaking. It says in the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. For envy, they tried to silence Paul. Acts 13:45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Envy. We ought not have envy for the evil man. Very careful about that. Envy will destroy your life. It'll destroy your walk. It'll destroy your fire for God. What does it come back to again? Be content with such things as ye have, for the Lord has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now let me say quickly here, and I must jump ahead. We must then fret not because of evil men. Now notice 24, verse 4, 19, excuse me, verse 19. He says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Okay, fret not, fret not. Now you recall what Jesus said. He says, don't fear him that can kill the body. Fear who? Fear him that can not only kill the body, but has the power to cast into hell. So many Christians become so fearful and fretful about man, about wicked, about evil. We know God's in control. 1 Samuel 1:6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. That's talking about Hannah, as you recall. Hannah could not have children, and her adversary made her fret. Oh, you can't have kids. Oh, something must be wrong. Oh, God doesn't love, and God doesn't want to bless you. God doesn't care. He doesn't want to work in your life. No, caused you to fret. Now, again, that's evil. That's wicked. And there will be people in your life and in my life that will do just that. They'll try and get us to stop trusting the Lord and fret. Fret. Psalm 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. One of the problems is that we have envy is because we see them prospering. Again, coming back to where is your heart? Where's your heart? Psalm 37:8, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Notice this, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, fretting, anxiety, the pressures, the burdens of life, they can cause us to sin. He says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. To do evil, you fret. In counseling, in a certain aspect of it, there in all of us, there's something, we all have what's called a pressure release valve. We get pressure, burden, anxiety. We all can inevitably sometimes push that pressure release valve. And we have to be careful about it because it could be sinful, it could be bad. Your pressure release valve needs to be back in the Word of God and spending time with Christ. Lord, I'm burdened, I'm fearful, I'm anxious. So you spend time with Christ. For sadly, a lot of people, especially men, a pressure release valve for that is an illicit thing. And I'll leave it at that. Be very careful. Fret not thyself to do evil. Proverbs 24:19. Fret not thyself because of evil men. Neither be thou envious at the wicked. Evil men understand not judgment. Now thinking through this, we ought to be very careful. Fret not. Nothing to fear. You trust God. You trust God. And that's one of the advantages we have as a child of God. We walk around with a confidence in Christ. We walk around not with a pompous, arrogant attitude, with our noses in the air, but with a confidence in Jesus Christ, because we already have, as he said in 1 Corinthians 15, the victory, the victory. Let me say next, evil men understand not judgment. Proverbs 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. They don't understand it. Why are bad things happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me, right? In fact, we know this in the latter days, in the very end, as men are literally being destroyed and cast into hell, they're still what? Cursing God. Still cursing God. We've been through some of that before. Let me jump ahead, evil men. We know in the New Testament says, shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. They're going to get worse. Worse and worse and worse. Down, 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 deceiving and being deceived. It's the opposite of a Christian. The child of God goes up, 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 positive, positive, positive. Now, it doesn't mean our life is peachy keen and we have no problem. It means we're persecuted. We're cast down. What's Paul saying? But we're not perplexed. We're not in despair. We know who God is and he's in control. We're going up, though. We're growing. We're developing. We're maturing, right? Evil men and seducers wax worse, worse, and worse. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. On and on we could go. Let me say next, because sentence is not executed speedily, men continue to do evil. Here's a good verse that you want to memorize. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore what? The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because their hands are not slapped as soon as they steal the cookie out of the jar. Because they get to come back and there's grace and mercy, they keep doing more evil and evil. Evil and evil. I believe it's chapter 1. I'm just now going through the book of Isaiah. Don't quote me on this, but he says in one area that he says, why should I rebuke or why should I judge or, the people of Israel? When I do that, they'll just rebel more and more and more, right? The more that I discipline them or correct them, they'll rebel more and more. And that's just a mark of an evil generation, evil people. And then let me say, evil men love darkness. Evil men love darkness. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love darkness. They love to be in the dark. Everything done, dark. Darkness. I won't go into that. Let me go ahead here. Evil men call good evil and evil good. Good evil and evil good. Now listen to Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light, light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. ! Woe unto them, he says. Woe unto them. They call evil good and good evil. You may have been there before in your life. You try to do something right, you live righteously, people get on you. They make fun of you. They pick on you. They may persecute you even. You're a fuddy-duddy, you're a stick in the mud, goody-two-shoe. Those are just some nice terms I'll use, okay? But truly, isn't it? I mean, good night, folks. They're condemning us for trying to get together for church. But heaven forbid you miss an appointment at Lowe's or Home Depot, you know. Good night. I saw a guy the other day come out of Walmart. Whole cart full of alcohol. Full of alcohol. I mean, he had to have spent $200 alcohol. But heaven forbid we meet together, five of us, for church. You understand? They call evil good and good evil. That's the world we live in. And the Christian should have nothing to do with evil men. Malachi 2:17, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? Again, Ecclesiastes 8:11. Well, I'm not punished for this. I'll keep doing it. No. They say, where's the God of judgment? If what we're doing is so bad, how come we're not being judged or punished because of it? Don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. So again, they call good evil, evil good. Be simple. Some cautions to us. Be simple concerning evil. This is a caution to me and to you and all of us as believers. You know, Romans 16:19. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You don't need to know about all the evil things so that you can then, well, I know what to do now. I know how to handle it. I know how to communicate with my coworker now. No. You be simple concerning evil. Get so saturated in the Bible and so saturated in the Spirit and so saturated in goodness and faith, right? And holiness that you're where you're supposed to be. They say, boy, there's something different about you there. Be simple. 3 John 1, verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. A person, again, coming back to, habitually sins, and there's no conviction and no chastisement from God. You have to inevitably question the salvation, because he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Again, simple concerning evil. Now, let me say a couple things here. We will be one falsely accused of being evil as a Christian. You'll be falsely accused of being evil. Why? For one reason, and that's for following Christ. Luke 6:22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, cast you out, you can't be a part of us, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. They're going to do it. Don't think that, well, it might happen. No, it's going to happen. You can't mix oil and water. It's not going to happen. They will not accept you. And the saddest thing, I believe, is when a Christian, a child of God, tries to fit in with worldly people. When a Christian tries to get their kids to fit in with ungodly people, right? When you try and get your marriage and you have these friends that are ungodly, they're, sake of a better terminology, they're alcoholics, they do all this stuff, and you try and fit in with them. It's sad because you look pathetic. We are already in the victory, have the victory, and we ought to be on the winning side. We ought to be living on that other level. Again, coming back to this. Be cautious and careful. And I hate to belabor this point, but I think it's very needed today in our society that's so wicked. Now, falsely accused. The mark of one that follows after Christ is truly a crucified life. We looked at that on Sunday. Whereas the evil follow their own ways, right? The evil man, the wicked man, the sinner, he's filled with his own self. As we looked at last week, the backslider in heart is what? Filled with himself. Filled with his own ways. Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Just not going to happen. Not going to happen. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. He goes on, 1 Corinthians 14. Philippians 3:12, right? Follow after, basically Paul speaking. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience. Follow after. We know what to follow after. We know what to avoid, okay? Now let me conclude here. And I thank you for staying with me. I apologize for rushing through these verses. I have so many verses. And I know that's a good thing, but I know that I want to get through this and get through all of it and conclude this series here tonight. And I hope and appreciate you staying with me on it. But avoid, what to avoid, okay? By way of conclusion here. Now, never trust a pastor when he says that, okay? we don't mean it. We don't mean it at all. But seriously here, last point. The most evil men deceive people about the truth. The most evil men deceive people about the truth. Okay? Now we know this. As a Christian, you already know this. But they deceive people about the truth, about salvation. A lot of the going on today, all of these pastors coming out and saying, well, we know what to do here, there, all of this, and thinking through it, and you ought to do this in health and wealth and be positive and God's going to bring you through all this. Okay. They never talk about the truth, biblical truth. Okay, I won't belabor that there. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue in my word, continue in the word, stay in the word, you're going to know the truth. You'll be able to have a discernment about you between that which is right and that which is wrong, good and evil, clean and unclean. Jeremiah 2:13, listen to this verse. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. No water. They can't hold any water. They've rejected me. They've forsaken me. Okay? They deceive the people. Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Right? To the law and to the testimony. People say, well, I'll tell you what I think, and I'll give you what I think you should do. Or here's something to self-help, self-esteem. You need to build. No. To the law and to the testimony, to the Bible. If they don't speak according to that, there's no light in them. No light. Thinking through this, let me skip a little bit here, and I have a couple quotes I want you to hear. A bit of healthy disbelief is sometimes as needful as faith to the welfare of our souls. Faith never means gullibility. Along with our faith in God must go a healthy disbelief of everything occult and esoteric. Really? Some people just floating through, well, everything's good as long as we all just know. There's disbelief in that which is occult against God. That's quoted from a little book called Gems from Tozer. Another it's not very little, I shouldn't say that. The Biblical View of Self-Esteem, Self-Love, and Self-Image, written by Jay Adams. Listen to a portion of what he says here. Any system that proposes to solve human problems apart from the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit is automatically condemned in Scripture. It is. You're trying to solve any problems outside of the Bible and the Holy Spirit, it's condemned in Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, it's condemned. We can do nothing without Christ. John 15, you know that. There was a man who died at the age of 34 back in 1662 by the name of Joseph Alleyn. He wrote a little book called Alarm to the Unconverted. Died at the age of 34 in a prison cell because of preaching the gospel of the Lord. 1662. Listen to what he says. I'm not baiting my hook with rhetoric, nor fishing for your applause, but for your souls. My work is not to please you, but to save you. No conversion, no salvation. Boy, I like that. I like that one. He says, I'm not trying to give you fluff. I'm not baiting. I'm not trying to get your applause and pat on the back. I'm trying to get you to be saved. I want to see you saved. Now, again, coming back to you, evil men distort the truth and deceive you about salvation. Godly men make a beeline for the cross. Okay? Let me give one more here. J.I. Packer, in his book, Keep in Step with the Spirit, he says this, modern Christians spread a thin layer of Bible teaching over the mixture of popular psychology and common sense they offer. But their overall approach clearly reflects the narcissism, the selfism or meism, as it's sometimes called. Narcissism. Many do that. Spread a little Bible over it. Here's a couple verses, but then let me give a 45-minute message on how you can overcome and have self-help. You're in it to win it. God's for you. Yet popular Christianity has, as one of its most effective talking points, the idea that God exists to help people to get ahead in this world. A lot of people, oh, God's here to help you and get ahead in this world. Well, maybe not. They go through problems and issues and all these things like we talked about on Sunday, and they go, well, God's not in it for me. God doesn't care about me. He's not giving me what I want. No, it's not how God works. John 6, we saw, you submit your life to Him and say, the crucified life, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. And it may be persecution. It may be problems. So we see here, God is for us, and He will help us, and He will give us the strength that we need and the discernment to avoid evil men. Last let me read them. We'll be done here. Mark 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain that he worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as a washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses thy father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, listen to this, if a man say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, ye shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother. Listen to this last verse. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. The word of God is none effect. Many today, evil men will deceive you about the truth. I know what the Bible says, but let me tell you what the Spirit told me. No, the Spirit and Bible never contradict each other. We know that for sure. And I'm so thankful for godly men and women across the ages that have stood true and for God. Are you avoiding evil men? A lot of things to avoid, but we know what to avoid. We have everything written down and given to us in the Word of God. Okay? Avoiding evil men, trusting the Lord, looking to Him, not having a skepticism about everybody, but a discernment from God through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, I hope that was a help to you and a blessing, and I hope you can study this for yourself and look at it and see what God has for you through the Word of God. All right? All right. Well, we'll end there this evening, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening and then the rest of your week. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday, as we always do, and continue to pray about it. God will allow us and open the door up for us to meet together very, very soon. All right? Appreciate your prayers. Again, we're praying for you and appreciate all of you tuning in. Okay? Let's end with a word of prayer. We'll be done this evening. Lord, thank you for another opportunity. I say this every week, just to be able to share your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Give us strength. There's much evil in this world, and there's evil people, evil men looking to, Lord, get us to stumble and get us out of the race. And many things the adversary throws at us daily, trying to get us to take our eyes off of you and onto the flesh and onto the world around us. Strengthen us, help us, God. Oh, how we love and thank you for your goodness and grace to us. If we'll trust you and listen to you and obey your word, you're willing to do it. Help us, guide us, and empower us. Thank you for that. Bless us now and guide us in these days, Lord, we pray and are asking that you'd allow us to meet together once again very soon. But according to your time and your will, we're trusting you. And we love and thank you, God. In thy precious holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Thank you.